later. But we are going to be finishing off Mark chapter 2 this morning. So we want you to turn to Mark chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I actually I want to tell you about something that happened 2 weeks ago. We had our new member class, and I'm going to do this now because I will forget at the end of the service. But some of the people that went through the new member class we want to introduce to you are Bill and Kimberly Thomas right there. You guys wave at everybody. I was going to talk about Leslie moving at the end of the service, too. Our own Leslie Lynch is going to be moving in a couple of weeks, so we're sad about that. You guys boo her. Give her a boo. No, I'm just kidding. She was part of the membership class in February, and we're excited that God's having a new chapter in her life, and we promise you we'll be praying for you, but as you transition and do all that. So she's going to a mission field, y'all. She's going to be working with a lot of Mormons. So, you know, just saying. I hope that you get to know, you know, if you, we have a, she'll be, Kim, well, Leslie will be starting that job here in a couple of weeks, so, you know, make sure you take some time and let her know how much we love her, and we'll be praying for her, and let the Thomases know how much we appreciate them as well. So, everyone else that was a part of the membership class has already been introduced, so we're good there. But do you find Mark 2 yet? All right, let's go ahead and look at this passage that we're at. Starting in verse 23, we're going to finish out Mark chapter 2 this morning. And it says this, on the Sabbath, he, talking about Jesus, on the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to make their way, picking some of the heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he told them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So then, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. That's going to be the passage we're going to be talking about here, but in the meantime, I need your help with something. So I've got actually something right here. I've got a nice little beach ball, so I need you guys to be doing me a favor here. We need you to be batting this beach ball around, and we need you to keep it going. So are you guys ready? We need you to, I mean, seriously, we need you to hit it up in the air and keep this beach ball going around. All right, so you guys keep that going. And, you know, this is actually the fourth week we've been looking at Mark chapter 2, and our beach ball's already dead? Where is it? Okay. All right, new beach ball rules. We want to make sure don't hit it at anybody. Hit it up, toss it gently, deal with all that. So, you know, we started, this is our fourth week in Mark chapter 2, and we've been calling the series The Troublemaker because in every single story, there's this Jesus is getting in trouble with religious leaders for something. You know, and we've talked about before how every single one of these episodes, there's a why question. The very first one was in Mark 2, verse 7. This was the question that Jesus was asked. Why does he speak like this? Who could forgive sins but God alone? In the second episode, there was, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Remember last week, we were looking at fasting, and the question was, why do John's disciples and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Did anybody catch the why question in today's thing? It was simply this, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? That was the question that you actually see in verse 24. So, I mean, last week, we've seen a lot of things. We saw Jesus dealing with forgiveness of sins the first week. We saw Jesus dealing with eating with unsavory people the second week. It was fasting the week before, and this week it's about the Sabbath. All right, let me see the beach ball here for a minute. Now, I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you were struggling to pay attention while I was talking? How many of you have absolutely no idea anything that I said? Thank you, Izzy. Yeah, was it Izzy or was it, who said that they didn't even know I was talking? Izzy, thanks, Izzy. Appreciate that, bud. Now, here's what I want you to see from it. Last week, we talked about fasting. Remember when we talked about that, we talked about it's an act of worship. And we talked about it's about what you're focusing on. What's the Sabbath about? You know what the Sabbath was created for? To get rid of distractions. all those things that seem to be floating around, all those things that take us away from where our focus is supposed to be, it is easy for us to get distracted. Over in Exodus chapter 20 is where the Ten Commandments are. Anybody want to guess what the longest of the Ten Commandments, the one that they talk about the most is? Remember the Sabbath. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. Let me turn there, and I want to read you this. And I want you to hear, this is where the Sabbath first is introduced. Verses 8 here says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did you catch what you're supposed to be doing on the Sabbath? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You're to labor 6 days and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. What does the Sabbath exist for? There were two things that you saw there in Exodus chapter 20. Rest and to keep it holy. Notice that what the Sabbath exists for is for two reasons. To get rest, to work 6 days a week, take a seventh day of rest, but also the seventh day is supposed to be a holy day. It's supposed to be set apart. It's supposed to be something different. That's why we tend to have church and things like that. That's why we do that on the Sabbath day. Are you with me on all that? We don't have things to put up here on the screen, so it's going to be a little difficult here. But I want you to think about what does that actually mean? What does it mean to keep the Sabbath? And truly, I want you to understand something. I think the whole reason that God created the Sabbath is he knows we are distracted people. He knows that there's a lot of things that can take our attention off of what it's supposed to be on. Last week, we talked about how fasting helps you to focus. The Sabbath is meant to get away from those distractions so that you can have a day of rest. You can have a day to rest up, but even more than that, you can have a day set apart to God as holy. Free from distractions, free from everything else, and just focused on him and focused on what he wants to do. So, how does that actually look? Let's get back to the story of Jesus here. Why do the Pharisees see what Jesus is doing? Why is it that they go to him and they say, why are your disciples doing this? What were they doing? They were walking through grain fields and picking some grain and doing all that. We're going to get to that here in a minute, but here's the question. How is that breaking the Sabbath? How is that breaking this day that it's supposed to be? Because what had happened by the day of Jesus, and I want you to understand some things here, that by that point, all the Old Testament scriptures, there were these things called the Talmud, some things called the Mishnah. They were commentaries on the scripture. They were people expounding upon what that means. For example, have you ever heard the phrase, you know, you're not supposed to carry a burden on the Sabbath? Some of you that have grown up in church, you've heard that. Well, okay, that's nice and all, but what does that actually mean? I want to read somewhere what it actually says. You're not supposed to carry a burden. They actually define it in the Talmud, and they say that a burden is, quote, food equal in weight to a dried fig, or it's enough wine for mixing in a goblet. It's milk enough for one swallow. Now, keep in mind, this is how much you're allowed to carry on the Sabbath day. Milk enough for one swallow, honey enough to put upon a wound, oil enough to anoint a small member, like a kid, water enough to moisten an eye salve, paper enough to write a customs house notice upon, ink enough to write two letters of the alphabet, not just one, but two. You know, you can carry enough ink to write two letters of the alphabet, and you can have, that's enough of a reed to make a pen, but it couldn't be a longer thing. You couldn't carry a reed longer than the pen length, and it was things like that. So you get this picture that the Talmud, they've gone and they've taken this idea of what it means to have a Sabbath, and they've narrowed it down. They've taken it down to a whole bunch of rules. Some of those things, you were forbidden from walking more than 2,000 steps in a day. You could walk 1,999 steps in a day, but you couldn't walk 2,000 because then you're journeying. So, yeah, any of you pacers? Anybody pace around your house? You're in trouble on the Sabbath. I'm a phone pacer. If I'm on the phone, I'm walking around. I'm wearing trails in the carpet. Gary's one of those too. I'd be in trouble. I would. One of those other rules. There was a law of Jew. You know, they couldn't carry an object that weighed more than a fig. Now, one of those things, if it weighed half of a fig size, you could carry it twice in that day. So, you know, there's that. You couldn't eat anything larger than an olive. Now, you couldn't throw an object into the air with one hand and catch it with the other. If the Sabbath came on you when you were picking up something, like if, you know, say you were bending down to pick up this stool or pick up, like, something to eat, and the Sabbath would start right at sunset, and sunset happened while you had something in your hand, you had to drop it. You couldn't even finish picking it back up because you're carrying a burden. You couldn't buy or sell anything. Shops had to be closed. Clothes, they couldn't be washed. They couldn't be mended. They couldn't be dyed. They couldn't be anything like that. You could not light or extinguish a fire on the Sabbath. And if you, so what happened, if you, remember it started at sunset. If you failed to get your lamps lit before sunset, you had to sit in the dark all night long until the next sunset. You had to just sit there in the dark because you didn't get it done before the Sabbath. You couldn't take a bath on the Sabbath, to which every fifth grade boy goes, woohoo! You know, couldn't take a bath on the Sabbath. Now, part of that reason was because if the water might splash over on the floor, it was considered washing the floor. Are you getting the idea of how crazy some of this stuff kind of was? Chairs or heavy objects, they couldn't be moved because you might end up putting a groove in your floor because it was dirt floors, and then that would be considered plowing. All right. It was against the law to untie a knot, to sew together two stitches, or prepare food. All that was against the law. And they had some interesting things that they debated, some interesting things they talked about. Is this okay or is this not okay? Women looking in a mirror. No kidding. The Talmud gets into that. They talk about, can a woman look into the mirror? Because one of the things that they said is because she might see a gray hair and be tempted to pull it out. You know, so it's not the looking in the mirror that's the problem. It's that if you see a gray hair, you're going to be like, ooh, that needs to go. And by the same token, men who had false teeth or an artificial limb, like say they had a wooden leg or something, are they carrying a burden if they have false teeth in their mouth? That was one of the things that was debated. Some people would go like, no, you're breaking the Sabbath. You can't have your false teeth in on the Sabbath day. You can't have your peg leg because you're breaking the Sabbath, right? A Jewish tailor, it was forbidden for a Jewish tailor to carry around a needle because he might be tempted to mend something. You kind of see some of the craziness? Here's two more that are kind of, that really says something here. If someone was injured, say you got injured on the Sabbath day. Now, the doctor could save your life, but he could only save your life. He couldn't do anything to treat the wound to make you comfortable. As long as you were going to survive, you had to deal with it until the Sabbath ended. Then you could be treated. You with me on all that? Doctors could only keep you alive, and then after the Sabbath, they could treat your wound. Now, actually, 1 Maccabees chapter 2, which isn't in the Bible, but it's kind of this historical book that it tells the story of about 165 B.C., there are 1,000 Jewish people that get slaughtered on the Sabbath because they refuse to fight on the Sabbath. So all these rules, all these regulations had even become to a dangerous level to where people weren't even willing to defend themselves because they were breaking the Sabbath. And when you read in 1 Maccabees 2, you actually see that they're like, we'd rather die innocent than break the Sabbath. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is dealing with. So I want you to think through this here for a minute. When Jesus' disciples, when the Pharisees see his disciples walking through a field and they're plucking grain, and you know, typically what they would do, I saw some of you doing this out there, because they would take here's the ways that the Pharisees would see them as breaking the Sabbath. Picking the grain was considered reaping. They're reaping, which is one of the things you weren't supposed to do. Rolling the wheat to remove the husk, that was considered sifting. Now, rubbing the heads of wheat was considered threshing. Brushing the ears of wheat was considered grinding, and throwing the wheat up in the air to separate the wheat from the chaff, that was considered winnowing, and all of these things were looked down on. All of these things, the Pharisees would go, nope, that's a violation. They're breaking the Sabbath. They're doing all that. You see why they're kind of upset with Jesus and his disciples here? At least a little bit. Can you see where they're coming from and why they see that as a bad thing? At least a little bit. Now, how does Jesus respond? So how does Jesus respond when he gets to all that? Look there in verse 25. What are the very first words he says in verse 25? He said to them, have you never what? And what's he talking about reading? He tells a story about David that you see in the Old Testament. This is a big deal to me because you know how Jesus responds to this? He quotes scripture. Isn't that kind of fascinating? Jesus quotes Scripture to explain what's going on here. When faced with a theological issue, do you know what Jesus does? He turns to the Bible. Now, I'm going to go off on a rant here for a minute, because I think a lot of times we tend not to base too much stuff on Scripture these days. We tend to put personal experiences as kind of this high level of thing. We're like, well, I don't think God's really that way. Can't base it off of Scripture. We just base it off of what we want him to be like. We've gotten into this bad habit of getting into theological debates. What does this mean? What does this mean? And I'll tell you, Facebook is some of the worst on all that. I saw someone ask a theological question this week. They asked this question about the Bible. Okay, so how do these two things in the Bible work in and out? And you know why I was so frustrated? Because I saw about a dozen responses that I read, and not a single one of them quoted Scripture. I'm saying all that to say this. Jesus himself, when gets asked a theological question about the Sabbath, he responds by quoting Scripture. And if that's what Jesus does, then that's what we need to be doing. You know, are any of us smarter than Jesus? Are any of us able to go, well, you know, Jesus went to the Old Testament to quote that, but me, I know better. I mean, you know, you can go off of what I say. Even our sermons and the way we do Bible studies, you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again, it's backwards. If I'm up here for 25 minutes, maybe 2 minutes of it is reading Scripture, and shouldn't it be the other way around? You know, are you with me on all that? This is something we should hold in high regard, and Jesus answers this debate by quoting Scripture. And that's a big deal. That's a big, important thing. And so I want us to, we're going to look at some Scripture. We're going to talk about some things. Before we get back to Mark 2 here for a minute, I want to talk about how should we view the Sabbath? What should we know about the Sabbath? Okay, and we're going to look, because Jesus quoted Scripture, we're going to quote Scripture too. How many of you have ever struggled with, all right, what does keeping the Sabbath actually mean? Anybody ever struggle? I'm the only one. We've struggled with that a little bit, right? I want you to see some verses, and something to keep in mind as we all started this. It goes all, the very first time you see the Sabbath mentioned is in creation. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This is what God says in Genesis 2, 1 through 3. It says, so the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. On the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for he rested from all of his work of creation. Very first time you see the Sabbath mentioned, and it predates even the creation of you and I. I want you to understand something about the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath, but not only did he create it, he followed it himself. That is significant. That's important. God created the Sabbath, but it was something that he followed before he ever had, he had created us by that point, by the seventh day of creation, but before we had the Scriptures, before we had all that, he is following the Sabbath. He is doing that. He creates it, and he follows it himself. Now, some other things that I want us to remember, and looking at some Scripture here, Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 is something that talks about the Sabbath, and here's what they said. They said that verses 16 and 17, Colossians 2, therefore don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink, or in the matter of a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. All right, I want to stop here for a minute. Verse 16 of Colossians 2 says, don't let anybody judge you because of what you're eating, because of food and drink, the matter of a festival. If you keep one of the religious festivals, don't let people judge you when it comes to the matter of a Sabbath, is actually what Colossians 2 says. And then verse 17 says, why? Verse 17, Colossians 2:17 says, these are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is Christ. I want you to understand that the Sabbath was created as a foreshadowing. The Sabbath was created as a shadow of Jesus coming. And the Sabbath, you actually see this back in Exodus chapter 31 as well, verses 16 and 17, that the Sabbath was given to Israel as a symbol of the covenant. All right, so reading in Exodus, I'm telling you all, this would work a whole lot better if we had them up on the screen, so we could you could see those for yourself. Because this is a lot of Scripture, it's a lot of things, but if Jesus looked at Scripture, I want us to as well. Exodus 31, verses 16 and 17 says this, the Israelites must observe the Sabbath, celebrating it throughout their generations as a permanent covenant. It is a sign forever between me and the Israelites, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. Did you catch why the Sabbath is there? The Israelites must observe the Sabbath, celebrating it throughout their generations as a permanent covenant. It is a sign forever between me and the Israelites. That the Sabbath was created to be this holy kind of ceremonial thing, that the symbol of the covenant that God had made between him and his people, saying that you're my people, I'm your God, that the Sabbath is partly created as a sign of that, as a symbol of that covenant together. So not only did God make it and follow it himself, not only was it just a shadow of Jesus that's to come, not only is it just this symbol of this covenant between God and his people, but the early church, and this is something that I even got asked about this morning, the early church actually changes the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. You actually see this in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and basically it just says that the first day of the week they gathered together to break bread, meaning Lord's Supper. They have changed it. The Sabbath used to be Saturday, now it's Sunday. Some of you have had those questions before. Why does that happen? Well, the early church changed it in the book of Acts so that they could celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Now, keep in mind, what did we say the two things of the Sabbath is for? Rest and holiness, right? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Follow the Sabbath, keep it holy. Make it a different day. Make it something special. The early church is like, there's nothing more special than the resurrection of Jesus, so they changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, so that way we could get together on the day that Jesus rose from the dead and celebrate it that way. So, you know, that's one of the questions that people kind of have. So this is just a whole bunch of scriptures about the Sabbath. And it's kind of interesting to think about all that. And I want you to keep all that in mind, and I want you to look at how Jesus responds back in Mark chapter 2. In verse 2, verse 28, he says this. So then the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is a, there we kind of got that. Man, it's kind of there. All right, so there you go. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath, Mark 2:28. That's how Jesus quotes and he says all this. The Son of Man was one of those titles Jesus liked to call himself. So what does he call himself? Lord of the Sabbath. You know why he can go through grain fields and pick grain? Because he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Because he's the one who set it into place, so he's the one that understands what it's supposed to be. And ironically, the very thing that had been set up to keep us from being distracted had itself become a distraction. Because what we had done is we had put so many rules on it, we had interpreted it so many ways that it becomes a burden on us. It became a burden on the people. And no longer are they keeping the Sabbath to have a holy day. No longer are they having a Sabbath to have a day of rest and a day of focusing on God. But the Sabbath had become a list of rules and things you're supposed to do and things you're not supposed to do. They had missed the Sabbath. And Jesus himself says here, Jesus, myself, I, the Son of Man, I am the Lord, even of the Sabbath. There are a lot of things that tend to distract us from having a Sabbath. And I have a feeling if we were to actually be truly honest and I were to ask how many of you truly keep a Sabbath, if we were to even say, okay, we're halfway through the year, we're in June now, let's just say 2017, if I were to ask you, have you truly had a Sabbath day? I wonder how many of us would say yes. Would any of us say yes? Would any of us be able to say, yes, I've had that day of rest and that day of just making it holy, that day of focusing on God, that day with no distractions, just me and God and my family and all that. Yeah, I've had that. And I suspect that not many of us could do that. Ironically, church sometimes becomes an interference with the Sabbath too. You know, be honest, some of you with kids, you had your hands around the neck of your kids this morning going, we're going to church, get ready! We got to learn about the love of Jesus. Come on. We do that, right? You know, we get here and we feel like, okay, we go through the routine. We go through the rigmarole. We go through all of this. And sometimes our heart's not exactly in it. And we just do it because we feel like we're supposed to. And I don't want to rehash what we talked about last week. But the Sabbath is meant to be something that we truly want to make a holy event. Something we truly want to make set apart. Something that truly is holy. And that happens when we focus on Jesus, when we focus on the things of God, when we take time away from work, away from everything else, and just spend time with the Lord and with us. One of the things I love about the Sabbath is it was encouraged to spend time with family. You could even have friends over. I mean, you couldn't prepare a meal for them or do anything like that, but it was encouraged to have friends over at your house and to spend time together, to focus on God together. You know why we worship together on Sunday morning? Because it's more awesome that way. Because God told us to do it, because we need those friendships. We need that relationship. We need all of us worshiping God together. That's the way God has designed us. He creates the Sabbath, and he knows that we need that. And one last passage I want us to look at today is in Romans chapter 14. And it's a doozy. Can I say that? Romans chapter 14, the first two verses of Romans 14 says this. Well, if I can get there. I'm turning too many pages, y'all. Here we go. Accept anyone who is weak in the faith, but don't argue about disputed matters. One person believes he may eat anything, while one who is weak eats only vegetables. Going down to verse 5, it says this. One person judges one day to be more important than another day. What day do you think they're talking about? Sabbath, festivals, all those types of things, the holy days. You know, kind of like we might say Christmas. You know, let's be honest, how many of us see Easter as a more holy day than you know, July the 18th or something? I mean, we do we not? This is what it says in Romans 14:5. One person judges one day to be more important than another day. Someone else judges every day to be the same. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, notice where it goes from this in verse 6. Whoever observes the day observes it for the honor of the Lord. Whoever observes the day observes it for the honor of the Lord. Whoever eats, eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. And whoever does not eat, it is for the Lord that he does not eat it, and he gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Y'all, that's what the Sabbath is about right there. It's about belonging to the Lord. And I'm not about to tell you the way you should follow the Sabbath. Romans 14 makes it clear that's a matter between you and God. However you do it, though, it has to be focused on one thing. You do it for the Lord. Whether your Sabbath is something special, something whatever, or whether it's just kind of a normal day, that's between you and God. We can't do that. We can't make that distinction. But you know what we can do? Let's quote Scripture that says, whatever you do, do it for the Lord. And that's what the Sabbath is about. You with me on all that? The Sabbath is about resting. It's about taking time to get the rest you need. But it's about doing something for God. It's about setting time aside for God. One of my favorite songs is by they're guys that do a whole bunch of funny songs. And two guys named Johnny and Chachi. They're kind of made up and all that kind of stuff, you know, have wigs and false teeth. They look hilarious. They're funny. They do a song called the Don't Song. You know, they talk about all the things that you're not supposed to do in a marriage if you're a husband. You know, one of the things, and this is the reason I'm saying this, that whole little phrase, if she says that she spells love, T-I-M-E, you ever heard that phrase before? You know, Donnie and Chachi say, don't grammatically correct her if she says that, because that's not how you spell love. But we tend to, don't we kind of have that picture, though? That love and spending time together go hand in hand. How much does God think you love him based on the amount of time you spend with him? That's why we have a Sabbath. Because God deserves our time. He deserves our love. And that's what the Sabbath is supposed to be about. So I want to challenge you this week, find time to spend with God. That's what the Sabbath is about. It's about time with God. It's about getting the rest that you need. And however we choose to celebrate that, you do it your way. But whatever you do, just like it says in Romans 14, do it for the Lord. Keep a Sabbath sometime this week and do it for the relationship between you and God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for everything that you've created. We're grateful for the Sabbath. We know that you recognize the fact that we need rest. You've recognized the fact that we would let our relationship with you just go by the wayside if we didn't make it a commitment. We pray that we will spend time with you, that we'll spend put our focus on you, that we'll truly keep a Sabbath in whichever way it needs to look in our lives. Help us to do that this week. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.